Well, praise the Lord, huh? We might fool around and have church here this morning, huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, they had an incredible week of Bible school, and we saw just a ton of kids come through here this week. I personally got to pray with 11 of them to receive the Lord this week. I mean, it was phenomenal. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, we just saw some neat things, had a lot of neat questions asked, and it was a great time. I know it glorified the Lord, and just want to thank all that helped and put this thing together this year. It was just truly not only an impact to just our church, but certainly to our community, as we saw a lot of young people from our local area come through that had a seed planted in their life with the gospel, and it was just a great, great time. We see a few of them here this morning, and we're certainly going to be in prayer that God will lead them our way if they don't have a church home where they're being fed, and we're just excited about what God is doing here. We really, really are, and we're excited to have new members and more to come. I'll be talking to several this afternoon and even more to come. I think if my totals aren't too far off, by the time we put them all together, of those that have just in the last month or so, by the time we finish today, and two more that I'll be talking to, we'll have 10 new members just over this month. So it's really God is moving. I mean, it's just a great, great thing. So I'm excited. This morning, the Lord has given me a message called "We Must." You're like, man, I don't like them things I have to do, but God has given us a great, great direction and a great message today. We're going to take it out of two places, actually, Matthew and 2 Peter. Before that, of course, I always try to share something a little humorous with you, and certainly the wisdom and humor of children can be very, very funny, and the wisdom and humor of our elderly can be funny too, right? Not to put down anybody, but certainly. But first, it said that Paul Newman, most of you have heard that name. It said that he founded a group called Hole in the Wall, and it's a group it's a camp for children. They have all kinds of health issues, cancer, and all kinds of whatever. One afternoon, Paul and his wife decided to stop by and have lunch with the children who were at the camp. Well, the counselor there was suspecting that maybe these kids, you know, they're pretty young, they might not know who Mr. Newman was by his movie star career, because, of course, that was a long time ago. So he explained to them, he said, "This man that's coming in the door is the man who made this camp possible. He is the reason that you were able to be here. Maybe you've seen his picture on a bottle of salad dressing." And they said, "Well, no." And he said, "Well, maybe you've seen it on a carton of lemonade." And one little girl stood up and said, "How long was he missing?" So you just don't know what kids are going to say. You know, but this one is funny. This is funny. Just like I told you last week, doesn't matter where you come from, this is funny. A man is standing by the graveside of his wife, and a massive clap of thunder came across the sky, and lightning bolts shot out of a cloud. And then even more rumbling came as the pastor said the closing prayer. And the little old man standing there said, "Well, she finally made it." So you'll get that in a minute. So Matthew 17 will be the first passage of Scripture that we read, and then we'll flip over real quickly to 2 Peter. Matthew 17, beginning in verse 1. And the Word of God says this, "And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While yet he spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid." Now move over, if you will, real quickly, to 2 Peter chapter 1, just two verses, verse 16 through 18. "For we have not followed cunningly deceived fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we do thank you for this wonderful and powerful time of worship we have had so far. And Father, I pray now, Lord, I thank you for all that are here, for everyone that is visiting, everyone that is here, Lord, that this is their church home. We thank you for all the young ones that were here this morning. We thank you for this past week, Lord, as you answered prayers and provided, Lord, and sent us multitudes of young people that we could share the gospel with. Thank you for those that accepted Christ. Thank you, Lord, for those that the seed was planted in ultimately will. We thank you now for this opportunity to worship this morning. We thank you for the early service. We thank you for the Sunday school time. And now we thank you for this time of worship, Lord, where we have all gathered here together to hear the truth of your word. And now, Lord, we just go into that and we just ask you to open hearts and minds that we would hear you. Lord, I just pray that you would empty this willing servant this morning and use me, Lord, that your will may be done. Thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. If we look into this first part of Matthew and we read this account in Matthew, we see an incredible event. Only in the, as Brother Bill would have said when he was here during the revival, in the theaters of our mind could we imagine what this scene must have been like. It must have been absolutely unbelievable. The transfiguration of Jesus. In verse 2 it says that he was transfigured before them. This is to say, if you will, that glory did not shine upon Jesus, but rather it came out. Whew, man. It came out of him and they saw it. It was shining through him. It was so bright. It was unbelievable. It was an incredible moment for those who were there to physically witness it with their own eyes, John, James, and Peter. And if we look at the first passage from 2 Peter where he writes in his letter, we see in verse 16, he says, "We have not followed cunningly deceived fables." In other words, he's saying, what I'm telling you is 100% fact. What I am telling you is guaranteed truth because I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it. It was his ability to declare the gospel message was given and placed on a very firm foundation. You heard me preach on that a couple of weeks ago on the foundation, or maybe it was even last week. But we understand we've got to have something to stand on, right? And here we see Peter saying, I saw it. I'm telling you, this will change your life. And we look back again at Matthew, we could surely be understanding and call this a mountaintop experience. That's what we could call it. We could call this an incredible moment. This moment made the mission of Jesus clear. It made it very clear. And for those who were there, if there had been any doubt, there was not any more. He was vindicated at that very moment. His mission was made clear. I am here to save the world. That's what he was telling everybody. In other words, when they were up there on that mountaintop, things got really real. They got very real. In verse 5, God even turned it up just a little bit more. If that wasn't enough, here you see the glory shining out of Christ. And here it said that God spoke from out of the cloud, and it said, while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And that was amazing. But then we get the command, hear ye him. In other words, pay attention. Jesus has got something important to say. My friends, I stand before you this morning and tell you he still does. That hasn't changed one bit. And I can guarantee you it would behoove, that's my big word for the day, it would behoove a lot of people if they'd start listening. Because God is speaking. And he's saying, here, listen to what he's got to say. As Peter would continue on with his ministry, as he would preach, he had some tremendous backing to his faith. He knew what he had seen, and he saw how things had to be. He saw things had to be taught. And he understood that his faith was strengthening because of what he believed and what Christ had done. And this is how things had to be. Today, things still need to be done by faith. We still need to believe that God is still able. We need to understand that. I preached this morning on who's in charge. Who's in control? Well, he makes that very clear in Psalm 97 and verse 1. It says, "The Lord reigns." That's the answer to that. We have the same assurance, my friends, that Peter had. Although we have not stood on top of the mountain, if you will, with Jesus and seen Him transfigured as Peter did, by faith and by what has been preached and what is given in the truth of God's Word, we have the assurance that we have a firm foundation based on the truth of God's Word. Not all, though, that we see around us, and most especially and sadly, those that claim a belief or a fellowship with Christ, we don't see them carrying that assurance around with them. We see a whole lot of doubt. We see a whole lot of confusion clouding over everything. It's got people thinking the wrong way. It's got people looking the wrong way, wondering, where in the world am I going? They're just standing in a quandary. They don't know what's going on. How can we have a mountaintop experience? I'm glad you asked that. Praise God. This morning, I want us to look at three things that we must do in order to make that happen. In order to have that mountaintop experience, there's three things that I believe we must do in order to make that happen. The very first thing we must do is follow Jesus. That's the first thing we have to do is follow Jesus. We see in these two comparing scriptures, if you will, from Matthew to First to Second Peter, we see that they had to follow Him in order to get where they were going. He called them up the mountain, if you will, but they had to be willing to go. Here, Peter, James, and John followed Jesus. They realized that He was who He said He was. They had a phenomenal experience, if you will, with Jesus. He took them up the mountain, and they went. There's nothing in this passage that tells us or shows us any moment of hesitation. You know, if we think about it, we go backwards all the way into the Old Testament when Abraham was called and told to go up the mountain and sacrifice his son. There's nothing in there that says he doubted, waited, asked God any questions. Just said he got up and went. Here it says they went. They left whatever they were doing in life. Wherever they were, they left to follow Jesus where they needed to be. They realized, if God has called me to do something, then that's what I need to go do. And I don't need to question Him. I just need to go and do it. They trusted Him. They fully believed that following Him would lead to good things. Has that changed, my friends? God has never changed. He's still calling many to Him. And there's a saying I've seen around Christmas time. It says, wise men still follow Him. Wise men still seek Him. What we must understand, what we must see, is that faith alone is what starts our Christian life. Now mind you, I said starts our Christian life. We have to have a belief in order to get all this started. It is what we base it on. We have faith that Jesus is truth. We have faith in that. We believe in that. We have faith that He is the way. He is the life. We study, we surrender our hearts by faith, and we start a life with the concept, the idea, the intention to follow. Now mind you, I said intention to follow. But along the way, here come some distractions. Along the way, here come some disruptions, if you will. There are those things that try to draw us away instead of draw us to. Those things that could try to convince us to go back to where we were. That is the job, if you will. That is the duty of the devil himself. Faith is merely the start. It is the discipleship that allows us to follow. It is the willingness to learn. Because to follow means to go after. I have to go after something if I'm going to follow it. If I throw a ball and I want to get to where it's at, I got to go after it. I got to follow it. Sometimes, though, and this is the part we don't like, sometimes, in order to follow, sometimes we have to leave something. And we don't like that. Sometimes we have to make some changes. Sometimes following means separation from something that I don't want to be separated from. Sometimes that could be separation from others or things, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes God is saying, I got something better for you up here, and you're down here. You got to leave that to get up here where I'm at. That's what He's trying to tell them. Following Jesus, and I mean really following Jesus, requires that we are willing to surrender and that we are willing to make whatever changes are necessary, even if it means not having certain things or even certain people in our lives. Now, I know that sounds harsh, my friends, but let me tell you, that's what God's Word proclaims. Separate yourself from those things that are not of Me, those things that are not holy. That is what God's Word is proclaiming. This seems like such a high cost. This seems almost unfair. We might ask the question, why do I have to give up anything? That's not right. I shouldn't have to do that. If we think of the word discipleship, we can think of the word discipline. We can think of the two there. If an athlete, you know, the Olympics are going on right now. If an athlete desires that gold medal, they really want it. I mean, they really want it. That's what their mind is set on. They've got to be willing to make the sacrifices needed to get it. The training and the devotion to that workout and studying or whatever it takes to make it to that goal. But if they go into it with the attitude, man, I'm not doing all that. Man, ain't no way. I'm not going to get in that gym every day. I'm not going to work out. I'm going to smoke, man. I'm going to drink. I'm going to party all night. I'm going to have a big time. I'm going to do whatever I want to because I don't feel like doing all that stuff. The chances are that medal's going to hang around somebody else's neck. I can promise you that. We must understand. We must understand. Following Jesus will always lead to higher places. Every single time. Here in Matthew, we see that they are led to the top of the mountain. They are led up to the top. Great things were waiting for them up there. They didn't even have a clue what they were getting ready to go and experience. They had no idea what was waiting on them. Great things were there. Amazing things. But they had to be willing to go all the way. Isn't that important? Isn't that important? If a football player has the ball, don't he have to go all the way to the end zone to make the score? If he gets midfield and says, ah, the heck with that, and drops the ball, nobody gets anything. Well, he gets all beat up, but I mean, nobody gets anything. We got to be willing to go all the way. And so we have to ask ourselves today, are we willing to follow Jesus all the way? Not part of the way, not just say, well, I invited one person last week, so I'm good for the year. You know, I gave my dollar 6 months ago. I'm ready to go. No! We got to be willing to follow Him all the way. And we got to be willing to do it even if it costs something. And I'm not talking about writing a check. It may come to that. Who knows? I'm talking about us. What is it going to cost me? What am I going to have to give up in order to get to the top? In order to get there, we must follow Jesus. If we follow anything else, you will not get to the top of the mountain. If you follow anything else, you will not find the truth. Because I use this analogy a lot, but it's true. I mean, not only is it from the Word, but we understand, speaking of Peter, what could he do that nobody else has ever done that we know of? Walk on water. But how could he do it? He had to follow Jesus. He had to look at Jesus. As long as he looked at Jesus, he could get where he was going. He could do anything. The minute he took his eyes off of him, he went down like a rock. As a body of Christ, as we're following and doing what God has called us to do, as we, as a collective body of believers, are following Jesus, if we ever take our eyes off of Him, we won't go in the right direction. You know, we'll begin telling people what they want to hear, and you know, we'll get all fluffy and like Cool Whip, man. You know, it tastes good, but it's empty. I mean, you know, it's what we gotta make sure we follow Jesus, and never take our eyes off of him. Because I want to keep walking on water. You know, I want to keep it going just like it is. In order to get there, that's how we do it. The second thing we must do, we must keep our eyes open. We must keep our eyes open or we'll miss out on the things that will change our life forever. Every opportunity that comes our way, everything that is placed before us, gives us an opportunity to make a choice. It gives us an opportunity to draw closer to the Lord or draw closer to the world. It gives us an opportunity to share Him with others, to be a witness. Every opportunity that comes before us, we have a chance to have things change our life. But in order to see them, we got to open our eyes, right? We have to do that. What's the song say? I was blind, but now I see. You see, we can be blind and not physically blind, not with the inability to have vision in our eyes. How many times have you heard about something being right in front of you and you couldn't see it? How many times have you been looking for something and it's laying on the table where you are and you couldn't see it? We've all been there. You know, we've all been there. As we see, as we look at this experience on the mountaintop, we understand why it was important for their eyes to be open. Had their eyes not been open, my Lord, look what they would have missed out on. If they would have been talking about, man, did you see what was going on over here? Jesus over here doing His thing. They'd have missed out on the most incredible experience of their life. Verse 2 says, and was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as light. They saw it. They didn't just have to talk about it. They didn't have to say, well, you know, Brother John told me about it. No, they saw it. And Peter proclaims, I'm not telling you about fables, man. I'm not telling you about stuff I've made up. I saw it with my own eyes. He was an eyewitness to the majesty of God. I might blow up over here, man. Praise God. Well, if I go, I love all of you, man. But you know where I'll be. Praise God. They saw the majesty of God. And they never forgot that. They never forgot that. And this was the foundation of the ministry that was started because of this. Are we looking for Jesus? Think about your life. Think about where you are. We must keep our eyes open to see what is around us. Is it of God? Is it of God or is it not? Is it drawing us closer to Him? Is it drawing us further away? Are we honoring Him as the Bible says, in all things that we do, do for the glory of God? Is everything that we're doing honoring God? The Bible says, if we seek, we shall find. And in order to seek something, in order to follow, I must be able to see, right? You know, I pull up to a guy, hey man, how do I get to, you know, some place? Follow me. I got to be able to see where that rascal's going in order to get there, right? Jesus said, follow me. In order to be able to see, in order to be able to follow, we must be able to see. In order to be able to seek, we must be looking. We have to be looking. Because if I'm not looking for something, I'm not going to find it. You know, because I don't want to find it. If I'm not desiring to look for whatever it is, I'm not going to find it. But I'm telling you this morning, if you've ever experienced the presence or the power of God, you will never forget it. You will never forget that. Peter saw Jesus transfigured right in front of him. He saw the glory of God shining out of him. He saw something that was unforgettable. And he saw, beyond that, he saw two dead guys show up. I mean, think about that. You know, a man I've heard about Moses and I've heard about Elijah and, you know, he got caught up in the chariot. Moses, the Bible says God buried him. Nobody knows where he's at. But man, he's standing here talking to Jesus. There must be something to this thing. There must be a whole lot more to it. Man, he got so excited. Verse 4 tells us that he wanted to start building stuff. I mean, he said, man, Lord, let me build a couple of tabernacles here. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He got all excited about what was going on. What we need to understand, though, what the key that is to understand what we must see, what our eyes are open to, because we can get caught up in the moment and we can lose focus. We can get caught up in everything and everything that's going on around us. That's why everything that's happening here is very exciting. It is very exciting. But at the same time, We must keep our focus on Christ. Because that's how people will keep getting saved. That's how Bible school has just tons of kids. That's how music is anointed. That's how the word that is preached is given from directly from the throne. That is how we keep doing that as long as we keep our eyes on Christ. We must follow Him and not anything else. We can get caught up in the moment and lose focus. We must keep our eyes open so that we may seek God's will. That is what we have to be after. Because if not, we can very well miss out on His plan for our lives. Man, this is so exciting. We've got to go do this and we've got to go do that. Maybe that's what God is saying, but maybe it's not. We have to be willing to listen to Him. We've got to do what He says to do. We must follow Jesus. We must do what God has said to do, and that is to keep our eyes open. Because seek and ye shall find. That is including God's will. If we look for God's will, we will find what it is He's called us to do. There's stuff in front of all of us all the time. When I say that, it is. It's stuff. There's just all kinds of things in front of us all the time. Whether it's, you know, things in our house or a car in front of you or whatever the case, it doesn't matter. But very often, although there's things around us all the time, we're surrounded by things all the time, it is very often we don't see it. We don't see it. Reality is thrown before us. And people in this world today, my friends, and I'm not going to step out on a limb. I'm just going to break that rascal off. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the way it is. Today, people have been blinded to the truth so long that nothing is obvious anymore. They've been blinded to the truth so long, nothing is obvious anymore. In order to follow Jesus, we've got to keep our eyes open to what He wants. We've got to keep our eyes open to what He wants and to what He has made clear. Just like sin. God said it was sin, it's still sin. It hasn't changed. It has not changed. It doesn't matter who redefined it. It's still sin in the eyes of God. We've got to get back to that. We must remain separate from those things. It cannot be a part of our lives, personally or collectively as a body. We must stand on God's Word without compromise. We have to do that. That is another must. We must stand on the Word of God. The world is ever-changing, my friends. All you got to do is pick up a book, a newspaper, a magazine, television, whatever the case. The world is ever-changing as to what is right or what is wrong. What is in style? What is acceptable? Well, my friends, I'm telling you this morning, we serve a God that has never changed. Not one time. Not one time. And He says it only once. He says it once because if He said it, He meant it. And that's what we have forgotten. We have forgotten in our world today. Oh, well, that was old. So we can change. No! If God said it was black, it's black. If it's white, it's white. If it's polka dot, it's polka dot. It doesn't matter. That is what we have tried to redefine. But the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, you shall neither add to nor take away from this word. And that is what we need to hang on to, my friends. So the last thing that we must do, we must listen to God. We hear things all the time. Y'all know you get tired of me saying the same thing over, but hearing and listening is two different things, friends. We hear stuff all the time, but if we don't listen to it, we don't apply it. It says in verse 5 of Matthew 17, we see that the Lord spoke here. And it says that He told those that were there, hear ye Him. In other words, if you are going to follow Jesus, you've got to listen to what He says. And not only do you have to listen to it, you actually got to do it. You got to put it in action. Because Jesus said, if you love Me, you will obey My commands. Obey means I'll actually do what You ask me to do. People have stopped listening to God. People have lost the fear of God. You know, I'm gonna go over here and I'm going to marry Bill. Go ahead. Go ahead. You will stand before God one day. And you won't get a pat on the back. No, that wasn't politically correct. But I don't care. Jesus wasn't either. People, praise God. People have stopped seeking God. Their eyes are no longer open. They're not following because they decided they can do it themselves. I don't need God to tell me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. That's the attitude of a big portion, I would never say all, but a big portion of our young people today. Nobody tells me what to do. And if anybody tells me what to do, I'm writing them off. I'm going to do it myself. God said, listen to me. They want to make all the choices. I want to do it alone. And you know what? God loves everybody enough to let you do that. God loves everybody enough that He gave us free will. You can do anything you want to do. But what many people have forgotten, there's a price tag on that. There's a cost attached to that. It is no different than going to Walmart or any other store. It doesn't matter which one it is. When you walk in that door, if you got enough money in your pocket, you can buy anything in that store that you want to. It doesn't matter whether it costs $1,000, a nickel, or $1,000,000. If you can afford it, there's nothing in there you can't buy. If it's on a shelf, a hanger, a wall, it doesn't matter. But in order to leave with it, you got to pay for it. In order to take it with you, you have to pay the price attached. God made it clear as to what He expects. God made it clear as to what we must do in order to please Him. But many don't listen to that anymore. I can do it my way. And they have fallen for the same lie that Eve fell for back in the garden. Oh, God didn't really say that. We serve such a beautiful and loving and what He just loves you. Go ahead and do whatever you want to do. That is straight from hell. That is not what the Bible says. Yes, He does love you, and yes, you can do whatever you want, but you will answer for it one day. And many today have turned their ears off. And they say, well, if I don't hear Him, then it must be okay. I don't hear. That's what, you know, a silencer on the end of a gun. I don't hear that either, but it's not okay. If it's coming my way, let me tell you. You know, if it's coming my way. Okay. When I say, well, it's okay, let me tell you something, my friends. Okay only lasts until it's time to pay up. And that cost is heavy. God says, listen to me. Listen to me, and I'll take you to the top. You know, many people strive to achieve fame and fortune and get to the top of publicly being successful. That top, it looks really good until you come down. We can get to the top with God and it lasts for eternity. Friends, it's not free. Salvation is free. The gift of eternal life is free. But following cost, we got to be willing to pay that price. We got to be willing to pay that cost. Because if we look and we follow God and we seek for what it is that He's planned for us and we are willing to obey His commands, then we can get there. But we need to understand what He's saying here. He's saying to each of us, it will end good, I promise. Let us go to the other side. They didn't expect that storm in the middle. But they got it. But he never told them they weren't going to make it. He said, let us go. He's telling us, come on up. Come on up. In order to get that mountaintop experience, we must do the very things that are laid out here in these passages. We must follow. We must keep our eyes open. And we must listen. What was the railroad motto for all the years? Stop, look, and listen. Isn't it the same thing? I must follow. I must go where He says go. I must watch what's going on. And I must listen to what He is telling me. Because if we will follow Him, if we will trust Him, we will be able to see. We will be able to see truth that you've never seen before. Maybe it's been sitting right in front of you, or maybe it's a long way away, but all of a sudden the light bulb clicks on. Like, wow. Now I really can see what it is He said from us. And for us, if we will follow Him and trust Him, we will see. And if we will see, if we will begin to focus, my friends, you'll see the cross. And you'll understand what it really means. And it'll change your life forever. Because you'll understand, God did that for me. even if it was just me. He did it for me. And when I realize that, then I realize I should listen to Him. I should command and do the things that He has asked for me to do. I should apply it to my life because He does know best. He does know best. And when we do that, it will only lead you to a better place. It will only lead you to a better place, and that is closer to Him. And that should be the goal of every believer on earth today, is to get closer to God. You know, we sang this morning, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." It's a great hymn. It's been around for a long time. It's fun to sing. But how about greater? How much greater would it be to actually want that? Lord, I don't want to be out of Your sight. I don't want to be away from You ever. I need You in every part of my life, from the time I get up in the morning and I don't feel like getting up, to when I go to work, to when I deal with traffic, anything. I need You every step of the way. So my question this morning, as I start winding this down, have you been to the top of the mountain? Because if not, now it's time to start climbing. Now it's time to get there. But if you have been there, and you forgot how great it was, you forgot how great it is, then you need to realize that in order to get where you need to be, there's some things we must do. We must do. Following Jesus comes at a cost. And anybody that don't tell you that just lied to you. You know, it's important when we see people come to know Christ, or we see people get saved, man, it's a great experience, it's great, but we also need to be honest with them and tell them, yeah, it's the greatest thing you ever did, but now the devil's getting ready to come after you because he's just got mad because he just lost one. We don't need to leave that part out, friends, because people get deceived. Well, man, I just got saved, all my problems just went away. No, you just got a whole new set. yes, you're ready to go to heaven, but man, there's a whole big journey in between. Following Jesus comes at a cost, but it puts us at a place to where we have to choose the direction that we must go. I have to make that decision. God's not going to make me do it. I can do whatever I want to do. In order to get where I need to go, I've got to listen to Him. I must listen to Him. We're coming off the heels, my friends, of a phenomenal week of Bible school, and we saw kids getting saved, and the move of God was just powerful. Just like it's been here this morning. I hope you felt that. It's been unbelievable this morning. We have to keep that momentum flowing. We have to keep that moving. Our work is not done. God still has something for us to do. We must follow Jesus all the way. All the way. We must keep our eyes open. And anything that is not of Him, anything, my friends, that is not of Him must be dealt with. It must be gotten rid of. We must be obedient to His commands. And as the pastor here, and I know Dan feels the same way, and any other leader here, this is what I'm going to say. As a part of that command, that includes preaching against sin. And I'm going to do that. We're going to preach heaven glorified and peaceful, and we're going to preach hell hot. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. The whole counsel of God has to be preached. Not just part of it. Yes, God loves you, but He don't love what you do. We can't leave that part out. The whole counsel of God. His grace and His mercy as well as His wrath. We can't leave that part out. We must, my friends, we have received a phenomenal call as a church, as a body of believers, and that is to reach the lost. Jesus said He came to seek and save the lost. We are still part of that. He said, go into all nations and tell them about Me. Go to the ends of the earth and tell them about Me. Praise God for everyone who is willing to go. And I'm saying this morning, let's go to the top. Let's go to the top, and with a loud voice, may we say, glory to God, for the Lord reigns, and I will serve Him no matter the cost. I will follow all the way. That's what we need. That's what we need. Because too many places are dead and dry, and they don't mean, if you had just done that, they'd ask you to leave. We got to get back to what God says. And maybe y'all want to shout when we talk about God. That's the greatest thing in the world. Could you imagine having stood on top of that mountain and seen the transfiguration? Well, I can promise you there was some shouting and hallelujah going on up there, brother. I'm telling you that right now. God says today, follow me. In order to get there, we must listen to what He has said. We cannot candy coat it anymore. We got to tell people the truth, friends. Because people all around us are lost and dying. And if you care about your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, the grocery store clerk, you care about him, you tell them about Jesus. They might not want to hear it. They rejected Him too. That's okay. He said, if you follow me, remember the world hated me first. That's okay. But you know what's really great though about God's Word? He said, if you're being persecuted because of me, you're getting blessed. I just say, come on, let's get blessed. Huh? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let us pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for an opportunity to have been here together this morning. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to have brought Your Word. Father, I pray, Lord, that as I have felt in My presence, Lord, in my heart, in my spirit,